Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Welcome to the grill room. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli as usual, and we hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Wherever you are in the world, here in the grill room, you'll find the most comprehensive look inside the world of global golf, and without any gobble-gobble in the background, let's bring in my partner, Alex Maselli. Alex, hope you and your family had a nice holiday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's always difficult because you're always thinking Thanksgiving's going to be a little different than it is. I mean, I was up in the D.C. area and it was 60 degrees, so not what you're thinking, and I doubt it's going to be 60 degrees at Christmas time, but I guess we're getting into the depths of slowly getting to the beginning of winter, aren't we, Bobby?
We certainly are. And any special plans for Christmas? I know one year you fully intended to go to St. Andrews for Christmas, which I thought was rather unusual. And then a snowstorm prevented you from going. What are you doing this year?
Well, first of all, that crushed me. I so wanted that trip. I had spent 6 months planning it, and to have to and then not be able to even get off the ground in Dulles, especially when you're sitting there in your seats on the plane in Washington to fly to London, and then you couldn't do it. That was very disappointing. But we try now to come up north in Massachusetts for the winter. For Christmas, which is really nice. So that's my plan. And, you know, I mean, as you get older, Christmas kind of changes things around a little. I mean, you got kids, but they get older, and so they got things going on and stuff like that. So you got to, I think you need to enjoy those times you have with them, because I know you look up one day and that's just not going to be there.
No, you're so right about that. And probably some listeners saying, why would he want to go to St. Andrews over Christmas? Let me assure you, and we just came back from there this past summer, I don't care how many times I go there. It is so special that there is no day, there is no month, there is no week that you're not going to enjoy yourself at St. Andrews. And that's if you don't like golf. If you like golf, then going to St. Andrews is going to the Mecca, and if you have it on your bucket list, certainly would hope that you would try and fulfill that dream of going to St. Andrews. Truly a very, very special place.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. And I think that at the end of the day, people that go there will really enjoy it. You know, Bobby, I think the other thing is with the end of the season, it's going to be a shorter show probably, but we're going to see if we can find a way to get into it. The Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, as well as our veterans, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And just a reminder, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlog.com. Heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll go around the world of golf when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. 2015 PGA champion Jason Day agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
As promised to Alex, time now to go around the world of golf. And with no tournament golf on offshore, let's check out what happened on the other side of the world. And I mean that literally. Down in Aussie land, the Australian Open, actually the 100th anniversary of a very special event in the world of golf.
You know, Bob, I watched some of that on Sunday, which was actually Saturday night, Sunday in Australia. And, you know, it's gotten more and more compelling to watch what's going on down there a lot of times, but partly because of the fact of the players that go down, a lot of the Australian players that play on the PGA Tour down there. And, you know, it's a really good event. 100 years is like anything. You know, the French Open this year is going to be its 100th year as well. So, I mean, I think events like that are huge. And I'm not going to say Jordan Spieth put it on the map last year, but he certainly gave it a lot more credence, even though there had been some great players that have won it in the past. Adam Scott, Greg Norman, you know, can go on and on. But it was pretty interesting to see Matt Jones, who I think has had a pretty decent 2015 on the PGA Tour, but just hadn't been able to get it over the hump. And, you know, it didn't look like he was stressed at all, even though, you know, you always know that they are, but looked very solid in winning by one shot over Adam Scott and Jordan Spieth. And you think about that leaderboard, Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, one back of Matt Jones. Not a bad week for those in Australia.
No, it really wasn't. And I want to talk a little bit about Australia in a minute, but getting back to that win by Matt Jones, certainly on Sunday, or the fourth and final round, he didn't start off anywhere near the way he had hoped to. Began the day with a bogey, followed it up with a double bogey, and then the compound matters on the ninth hole made an astonishing triple bogey. I doubt anybody's probably ever won a PGA Tour event or any professional event when they have a bogey, a double bogey, and a triple bogey. But Matt Jones had enough at the end to hold on. Let's give a listen to what Matt Jones had to say, and then I want to get your thoughts about Australia and Australian golf. But right now, Matt Jones.
Yeah, it was a lot of stress and a lot of anxious moments out there, but came through with a lip-in putt on the last to get the trophy, which was nice. It's amazing. It's something I would have thought about from when I was six when I first met him. I tried not to think about it this week because I knew, as you saw today, anything can happen on a golf course, and you can be one swing away from doing what I did and having no chance to win. But to have my name on this trophy with like Nicklaus, Newton, Norman, all those guys, it's a dream come true for me, and something that I can't have taken away from me.
The Australian Open celebrating its 100th anniversary, and of course it's part of the new system, the Open Championship. It was a qualifying site, so Matt Jones, Rod Pampling, who shot an unbelievable 61 in the fourth round, and Nick Cullen all qualify for the Open Championship, and that is huge when we go to Troon later on this year. As promised, I know you've been to Australia. It is one of my favorite golf destinations in all of the world. I'm curious if you would share your thoughts of Australia with our listeners.
Well, I think it's tremendous. First of all, it's a great golf destination, not only Australia, down there in Sydney and Melbourne and the sand belt, but you know, you could go over to Tasmania as well, where there's some just unbelievable golf too. So it's a great golf destination. The people are great. It's just I think it's a really fun place to go. And obviously, on top of being a fun place to go, it's a long way to go. So a lot of people kind of shy away from making the trip. But it's certainly a trip worth making. There's no question about that. And, you know, you mentioned Matt Jones's front side, Bobby, and I think it's important to note that even though he did have such a bad front side, I mean, it didn't look like it really shook him on the back nine. And when he was, you know, obviously now head-to-head with Jordan and Adam Scott, and forget Jordan and Adam Scott, after Rod Pampling shot a 10-under 61, he had Rod Pampling to deal with because Pampling was in the house at 6-under when all the other guys were still starting the back nine, basically. So it was just amazing how Matt Jones looked very calm, and I always like the way he pulls the trigger so quickly. I mean, just gets up and goes. It doesn't even look like he's ready to do anything, and then all of a sudden the ball's in the air. That was something that AK used to do. Jason Day at times is pretty good with that as well, just go and just go and hit it. So, but it was a pretty impressive win by Matt Jones. And at the same time, I think Australia just continues to benefit from, you know, those guys going down there and playing. I wish that there were more Australian events, actually, because I think they're pretty fun to watch.
You know, you mentioned the name Adam Scott finishing second. Do you think maybe he's rounded the corner on this putting issue? He was using a conventional putter with an unorthodox grip, to say the least. But, you know, with the ban in effect on January 1st, 2016, on anchoring the putter against your chest, it has been a well-documented struggle for Adam Scott. But with a performance like that, you have to believe that maybe he's on the right road.
Well, I think he is. He struggled the first couple matches in match play when he was in the President's Cup, and then seemed to find it at the end. Didn't play well at HSBC for whatever reason. Just didn't play very well. But then in turn, now again, you're starting to see him play well and making some putts. So I think it's still a work in progress, but I think he's, you know, look, at this point now, you have no choice. And it's not like it was like in the middle of the summer or something where you could go back and forth if you wanted to. You don't have a choice now. And so Adam Scott is, I think, resigned to that. And he won a lot of golf tournaments without anchoring. And so there's no question that he can win golf tournaments without anchoring. And I think it'll be interesting to see others that are going to struggle with this, probably even more than Adam Scott, a Tim Clark who has a physical disability, or a Carl Peterson who has only anchored in his entire professional career. And then, of course, I think the one that's going to have the most problems with all of this is going to be Bernhard Langer when the Champions Tour starts back up in January. So we'll see what happens. But I think if anybody's on the right road and seems to be in a good position in, towards this issue, is Adam Scott.
And, of course, another player that has to make the transition, Ernie Els, even though he's now 46 years old, hard to believe. By the way, Adam Scott's 35. I think of him as a young guy, and all of a sudden he jumps up 35 years old, same age as Matt Jones, by the way. And I know we still have a few listeners probably shaking their heads saying, "You mean Alex Maselli played golf in Tasmania?" You know, I believe less than 0.1% of the people in the United States have ever played golf in Tasmania. But that's what Alex likes to do. If nobody else does it, Alex Maselli is going to do it. All right, let's go to South Africa, another place we've been to, Alex, and a great place to go play golf. People don't realize that. I think two outstanding aspects of South Africa that probably the average person may not be aware of, the quality of their golf courses and the quality of their wine.
Yeah, I'm, you know, you actually have been there. I have never been to South Africa.
No,
it's just one of those things. Just I didn't go down for that President's Cup. But, yeah, I understand, and depending on who you talk to, obviously if you talk to Ernie or you talk to Louis Oosthuizen or you talk to Charles Schwartzel or you talk to Brandon Grace or Gary Player, I mean, anybody you talk to, they just have so many great, they have so many great memories of South Africa. They love going back down there. It's this time of year just like it is for the Australians. And so as I understand, it's supposed to be a great experience. And not last week, which was at the Dunhill, but this week, when they're going to be at Nedbank, that facility alone, as I understand it, is just unbelievable. But we're not there yet, so let's stay with this. And, You know, the Dunhill Championship is a big championship. Johan Rupert is a big supporter of golf in South Africa. His company supports the Dunhill Links Championship up in the St. Andrews area as well. This is the first official event, and I hesitate to say that, Bobby, the first official event on the 2016 European Tour season in the Race to Dubai. I thought the Race to Dubai just finished, but obviously these are big weeks if you're getting started out, not only for the Race to Dubai, but as we start going on now, we have Ryder Cup implications. Obviously slow but sure, and Charles Schwartzel shooting a final round 70, 15 under. What I thought was interesting is Schwartzel never seemed to lose control of the golf tournament from almost the first day.
Well, it's the fourth time he's won it. He loves it there. And one more thing about South Africa, right, and I did have the privilege of going down there, and prior to going, I had occasion to talk to Gary Player, who's, head of the Chamber of Commerce, obviously, for South Africa. But he said this to me. He says, you know, Bob, in the United States, they brag about 16-mile drive at Carmel and, where Pebble Beach is, and they marvel at it. Well, in South Africa, we have a 300-mile drive, exactly the same beauty that you see on the 16-mile drive. And he was right. I was blown away by simply the magnificent beauty of South Africa. And the one thing that I remember about it, too, I got an opportunity to put my toe into the Indian Ocean, something I never thought I would ever get to do. But Charles Schwartzel thought he was going to do it. He loves that golf course, and he spoke after his victory.
The way I played the last few years, being down in quite a slump, didn't really see myself coming out and winning. But, we put in so much hard work in the last sort of 18 months. And, it's frustrating. Week in, week out, you play, and it feels like it never is going to turn. And I guess there's no better fit than for it to turn around. Yeah, this place has treated me really well and played, got my first win. Yeah, and now my 10th. So I think it's pretty fitting.
Charles Schwartzel, winner of one major. He's got an awful lot of talent. He's certainly a name that is capable of getting major number two at any time. Next up on the calendar, Alex's favorite segment, News and Notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, news and notes, Alex. Let's begin with the USGA. Set to have Diane Murphy become president of the USGA. She'd only be the second female ever to hold that post. Judy Bell was the first. And I got to be honest, I have not had many dealings with Diane Murphy, but I'm sure that you have had.
I have. I think it's interesting. I don't... there's 15 people on the executive committee that can be president now after some changes they're making to the bylaws. And there is no kind of right of succession as there has been in the past with a vice president and so forth and so on. You know, the USGA makes their decisions on using many different criteria in determining who's going to become their president, and it's their organization, and we'll see how this goes. I think that they're not looking for someone to be very proactive as president of the USGA, and I think that's true with the PGA of America as well. I think that the belief of both organizations at this point is that they have a management system in place with either a CEO or a managing executive of some type, and they're the ones that are supposed to run the organization. And I think the days of someone like a Ted Bishop at the PGA of America are probably gone. I think I'm not going to call either role a ceremonial role, but in reality, it ends up being that way. And I think that's what the system is now. And I think that no matter who gets nominated for president of the USGA, it's going to be pretty much ceremonial. I don't think there's going to be many changes to the organization, inside or outside, because of it.
What amazes me is the popular cry, no matter what the organization, everybody's striving for more transparency, and used to be able to know in advance who eventually was going to become president of the United States Golf Association. Once they became vice president, then it was automatic. Well, they're doing away with that, and they can select anybody from the executive committee. So it's going to be like a surprise announcement every time somebody gets the job. All right, let's move along. The RNA new chief, Martin Slumbers, he was recently at a summit called Time for Golf, and they're trying to deal with slow play. And as I understand it, you help me out here, Alex, on the European Tour, they actually publish a list of players that are guilty of playing slow, but they don't make that list public. And I think, and I have thought for quite a while, the one thing that the PGA Tour could do, because merely fining players now with the amount of money that they make doesn't seem to be the deterrent that it should be for slow play. Do you think that the PGA Tour could publish the names of players that are guilty of slow play?
Well, I think the PGA Tour should do a lot of things. This might just be one of them. I think, first of all, when you talk about transparency, it's a fool's errand when you talk about the PGA Tour, because there is no such thing as transparency. They try to be as closed-mouthed about everything as possible. And this goes all the way back to fines and violations, and we don't even know if somebody gets fined or not. So that's one of the issues that we have with the PGA Tour and transparency. So if you think they're going to start publishing names of players that are inherently slow players, even though everybody on tour knows who they are, that's never going to happen. At the same time, I think that you have to have a system in place that can designate or determine who those slow players are, but I mean fairly determine that. There are many times you'll get someone that'll get a slow time or be on the clock on the PGA Tour, and it's not that person. So if you're going to publish that information in any way, shape, or form, you need to make sure that the system works very well and not go ahead and determine that somebody is slow when they're really not. And I've seen that happen in the past. And the thing that's funny about it is the player that's not slow, the player that's inherently fast, when they get the nod from the rules official saying, well, we're putting you on the clock, they are the most upset of anybody. I mean anybody. So I think that's one other thing. The interesting thing is, as part of this conference, Bob, there was a discussion by one of the RNA officials who had talked about how he had told Jordan Spieth that he needed to get moving quicker in the Open Championship, and I almost believe it might have been Sunday. And about two holes later, after that happened, two or three holes later after it happened, I think it was Rickman, I think, Spieth had birdied like two of the next three holes or whatever and came up to Rickman and said, hey, you know, thank you for kind of getting me going and, you know, slapping me on the backside. So, you know, there's positive and negatives of the whole thing. I think it really depends on how you handle it and how it's dealt with. But it's very clear. One thing is very, very, very clear, that slow play is a problem at the professional ranks, and it is something that players want addressed. The question is what's the best way to address it? And I don't think we exactly know, even though Martin Slumbers is coming up with this suggestion. Martin Slumbers has one professional event basically has to deal with on an annual basis. I think this is something that's better left to both the European Tour and the PGA Tour to determine.
You know, Alex, a point of clarification for our listeners. What Alex was talking about, if there's a threesome and one player in that threesome on the PGA Tour is playing really slow, so it slows down the whole group, when the rules official comes out, he doesn't designate that player as being the responsible party for slow play. He designates that group. And a lot of people, a lot of players, obviously object to that because two guys are trying to play fast, one guy plays slow, and they get on the clock, and it kind of upsets their rhythm. So it's a little mysterious, and I understand the Danish Golf Union made a determination for every foot that the greens are faster, it adds 10 minutes to the round. So if you're putting on greens that are running 10 on the step meter versus 12 on the step meter, that round's going to take 20 minutes longer. We'll have to see about that.
I mean, well,
it is a problem, though, Alex, that has played golf and it, you know, filters down to the you know, amateur foursome at their country club on Saturday. They watch the pros line it up from both sides. And around the golf, it just takes too long as we approach the year 2016.
Well, I think there's a couple things about that. First of all, the Danish study is fascinating to be able to determine that. So if using 10 on the step meter as a baseline, every foot after that ends up meaning 10 more minutes. Now, the thing that we've always talked about is if you just think about, there's so many things you can do differently, but you know, if you just take an extra 15 seconds over a shot, Bob, just anybody, and that means an extra 15 seconds over a shot, and it's a par 4, that means if you par the hole, that's an extra minute. If you add an extra minute on to 18 holes, that's 18 minutes. I mean, 15 seconds doesn't seem like a lot at the time, but when you add it up over the time frame, that's 18 minutes. That 18 minutes, and then you get faster greens, I mean, you can just see how it can add up very quickly. So I think that's one of the things that people don't understand is the things they can do to speed things up. And even if it's 10 seconds, that 10 seconds gets spread out over a period of time. It means big difference. But I think that, you know, the RNA had done a study, about a year ago about slow play. Or rather, I take that back, about why people aren't playing more golf. And believe it or not, slow play was not one of the biggest reasons. Though this is an issue that needs to be addressed. I think all of the issues need to be addressed. But this issue is amongst the amateur ranks and the recreational golfer. This is not as big of an issue as other issues in regards to golf. And it's not even cost. It's not even equipment. It's the fact just having the time, meaning the requirements that individuals have now on either a family life or work life. Those are the reasons why people don't play golf more in 2015, 2016. Slow play is down there. And I think what will happen is that will help, but it doesn't matter how fast the game is if you don't have time because you got taking your kids to a soccer match or your boss says that he needs something and you need to stay an extra 5 hours to do.
Going back to Australia, Alex, as you were talking about slow play, it came to mind an interesting way they handle, you know, what we call pull cards. They allow, in Australia, the wheels on the pull carts are wider, and they allow the players to walk right straight across the green. It speeds up play tremendously, and ironically enough, a secondary benefit of that seems that, you know, it smooths out the greens a little bit more. And I was always curious after discovering that on one of my trips to Australia that we don't do that here in the United States.
Well, you know, different golf courses. I mean, their golf courses are more links. I mean, the places you're talking about, they, you know, especially in the Sandbelt, which is where we played the most, it's so much more linksy down there. And so it just, you know, it just it kind of fits into the scenario. I think that, you know, we're probably a little more protective of the golf courses in the United States, which we probably don't have to be. But, you know, at the end of the day, I agree with you. There's so many things we can take a look at and do. But that all being said, I'd rather take a look at these things and try to address golf as it is today than trying to find other reasons for people to play golf and creating other kinds of golf so that people will be interested. Because I think the game as it is fine. We just need to fine-tune in areas.
One of the finest endeavors you could ever do in your lifetime, if you haven't played and you're listening to this show, make it a point. Go take a couple of lessons. Go to a driving range. And then take that experience out on the golf course. You'll be sending thank you letters into the grill room. Time marches on in the show, and time marches on when we look at a 13-year-old Alex committing to where he's going to be playing his college golf in 5 years. That seems mind-boggling.
Well, I don't know why you feel that way, because, I mean, you look at Lydia Ko, you look at Lexi Thompson. You know, there's obviously a lot of good players at a young age. And so, you know, if somebody feels that that's what they want to do, I mean, I don't know if I would commit to anything at 13 because I don't need to. I mean, there's no requirement for me to go ahead and commit to Florida. I mean, the fact that this kid, Joseph Pageant, had offers from, I think it was some like 10 other schools from the SEC and the ACC. It's not like they were going to just withdraw their offers. They wanted the kid badly, obviously. So for him to commit to Florida as an eighth grader was probably not necessary. With that being said, it certainly makes news, and there's no question that, I'll be honest with you, Bob, if the kid's as good as it sounds, he may never even make it to Florida when his time comes in 4 more years, because, you know, he may be a kid that might, you know, pull out and try to professional ranks at that age. You just don't know. But another kid, just like Sam Horsfield, who came over from England and is playing in the U.S. as a kid, who was actually also at Florida as well. Pageant came from England, moves over to the United States, mentored by Ian Poulter at Lake Nona. And again, another player that was mentored by Poulter. Horsfield has a relationship with Poulter as well. And here's this kid's clearly going to be good enough to, looks like good enough to play college golf pretty quickly. So we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll see what happens. We've gotten accustomed to players leaving college. Case in point, Jordan Spieth leaving the University of Texas after 1 year. I guess next on the horizon, guys will be leaving high school to go play professional golf. Oh, what a world it is. Well, that wraps up this segment of News and Notes.
Bob's feature interview with ClubsToHire.com's CEO Tony Judge is up next. After you hear what Tony has to say, I can't think of a reason why anyone would bother taking their own clubs on any trip that involves playing golf, especially if you favor TaylorMade or Callaway clubs. We'll find out why in a minute. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlock.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Normally I don't get excited about something when I hear it involving in the world of golf, but I got to be honest with you, listeners. Our next guest certainly has me excited because he's the CEO of an organization, clubstohire.com. And Tony, why don't you just give our listeners a brief overlay of exactly what clubstohire.com can mean for a golfer that's going to do some traveling.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me. Yeah, no problem at all. Clubstohire is a service that's put in place to assist traveling golfers to make the journey for them a lot less hassle-free and a lot cheaper. So what we do is the golfer who's traveling, going on a golfing trip, goes onto our website and is going to book a set of golf clubs. Just like renting a car, it's as simple as that. They go onto the website and they pick the venue that they're flying into. So let's say they're flying from New York down to Orlando. They go on, they put in their dates, and when they put in the dates, it's a live booking engine, so the list of golf clubs comes up that are available at that location on their dates, and typically it's top-of-the-range sets of TaylorMades and Callaways, and they just pick whatever set they want, whatever shaft type they want, and whatever putter they want, and they book it, and then we deliver to their hotel at the venue where they're flying into, or we can also meet them at the airport. And we do all this for $80 for a week. So that's the service, Bob. It's as simple as that. Very clean and simple. The website's very efficient. And it just removes all the hassle and a lot of the cost for the golfers when they're traveling around the world.
You know, Tony, if I didn't know better, I would think that you're in cahoots with the airlines, because the way they charge for baggage now, you could end up paying more than that to lug your own clubs, and chances are they're not going to be the state-of-the-art clubs that you provide for your clientele.
Yeah, look, I mean, Bob, what happened when we set the business up 5 years ago is, as you know, we're based in Dublin in Ireland, the head office. And, you know, the business sprung out of that, really, the cost of to travel with the clubs. In Europe, you pay anything from €40 each way up to €70 each way. And if you're traveling to the U.S. from Europe, you can pay anything to €150 to €200 to bring your clubs down and back. So, I mean, the U.S. is suffering with the same enigma from the airlines, because the airlines are jacking up the fees. They're making it more and more awkward, you know, to bring baggage, any kind of baggage, to be quite honest with you, on the plane. And I just think it's going to get worse, not better. The airlines are looking for ancillary revenue, which is fair enough. That's their model. But, you know, when you start getting into paying $40, $50 each way to put a set of golf clubs on, with all the hassle that it involves, lugging the big travel bag, our model is proven. Is proven successful. People really like it, and people are taking advantage of it.
Tony, what are my options? I'm going to be flying into Orlando. I want to use your service. I want to have some state-of-the-art equipment. Where do I have to pick these clubs up, or what are my options as far as getting physically handling the golf clubs?
Okay, so you're going to Orlando, you pick the clubs, you go on, you book them. When you go on, at the moment in Orlando, we have a choice of the new Callaway XOR product or the TaylorMade Aero Burners. So you go on there, Bob, you book your sets. So let's just say you go for a set of steel regular, Callaways. So that's all booked. When you book, then you get our confirmation. And in the confirmation, it confirms your booking. And then it also confirms that you have a choice of either getting the clubs delivered at the airport when you come in, or we'll deliver them to your hotel in Orlando. So within 24 hours of you making the booking, our handler in Orlando writes to you and says, Bob, thanks for your booking. I see you're coming in on whatever date. Where would you like the club? Where would you like to meet me with the clubs? And you will probably go, look, I'll see you at the Wyndham on International Drive at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And he will be there at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning with the clubs. He'll go through exactly what's in the bag. All the bags we give are lightweight carry bags, but you can put them on the back of a buggy or you can carry them, you know, on your back when you're playing. And he then agrees a time to collect the set off you, whenever it is, whether it be 3, 4, 5, 7 days later. We charge for a weekly rate, whether it's 1 day or 7 days, it's $80, and that includes delivery to and from the hotel.
You know, Tony, what just popped into my head, I think of the golfer that is going to go to his destination to play golf, and then all of a sudden the clubs get lost, and then he's in a tither and has to go to the pro shop, and he's going to end up paying a lot more money. He's not going to have the ability to choose from the selection that you provide, and they may never find his golf club. So why would anybody want to take the chance of, in transit, losing their golf clubs? I mean, to me, I would much rather use your service, play with state-of-the-art equipment, and save money. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Bob, when we started the business 5 years ago, I would have said to you at the time that it was all about price. People were just booking because we were so cheap compared to putting them on the plane. 5 years on, I would now say that, price is important, but I would say B, and probably this is the key thing, it's a brilliant opportunity for the traveling golfer to try out the latest technology that's in the marketplace. And what we're finding with our customers, a ton of guys are coming on, renting the latest sets, trying out the new M1 driver from TaylorMade and the RSI irons, and, you know, having a nice week in the sun, playing at really nice golf courses, and they really get to know the golf club, as in the set that they're using during that week period. And they may well go home and then purchase that set. And what we're finding is an awful lot of people are doing that. And as you just said, you remove the risk of your set getting missing, getting broken, going to the wrong airport, etc., etc. So you don't have any of that risk or worry. And we allow the client to insure the set as well, Bob, for a week. It's $7. And that covers them, you know, against any breakages or damage or anything to do with the golf clubs during the week that they have it. So it's a stress-free, almost risk-free way to do it, and a chance to try out the new gear.
Tony Judge has been our special guest. Before I let you go, Tony, I want to say thanks for coming on the Grow Room. We certainly appreciate it. And our listeners, if they want more information or they're interested in making a transaction, they go to where?
They just go to the website, Bob. Everything happens on the website. It's www.clubstohire.com. That's T-O in the middle. So clubstohire.com. Everything's on there. We've 26 locations worldwide now. So, and we've some exciting news. Where, as I actually didn't mention, we've got 3 locations in the U.S. at the moment, and they're in Orlando, Scottsdale, and Las Vegas. And in January, we're going to be opening down in Myrtle Beach. And we've some very exciting plans for 2016 over in the States, Bob. So I would hope in the next kind of 12 to 18 months that we could have, you know, well north of 12 locations in the U.S. So, we're looking forward to looking after the U.S. customers. This year, 2015, we looked after over 75,000 customers. So it's a very, very popular trend. And I think your listeners are going to enjoy the service.
Well, one of the duties that I have as the co-host of the Grill Room is to judge whether something is good or not. And I'm judging that Clubs to Hire is not only good, it's excellent. And if you don't believe me, I just got it from Tony Judge, the CEO. Tony, thanks for joining us. We look forward to catching up with you down at the Merchandise Show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks a million.
Check out clubstohire.com when you take your next trip that involves golf clubs. Remember, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and golfblot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network. When we come back, we'll take a look at what's next on the schedule.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Alex, you promised our listeners take a look at what's happening next on the schedule. Champions Tour final qualifying school being held at TPC of Scottsdale. 79 players in the field. And I think this is correct. The top five get their cards on the Champions Tour. The next seven get conditional cards. Am I right?
I think you're right on that, Bobby. Such a hard tour to get on the Champions Tour. And look, only five out of 79. I mean, that's not even 10%, for goodness sake. But, you know, once you get on there, it's the gravy train, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's you're right on the money, Alex, as usual, saying it's very difficult to get on the Champions Tour. But I have to point out that once you get your card, then you got to finish in the top 30 money earners or you lose your card. I mean, you talk about a closed shop. Champions Tour certainly is a prime example of that.
No, absolutely. You know, the LPGA is also having their finals of qualifying, Bob. There are 157 players in the field competing for the LPGA Tour membership in Category 12 and 17 on their 2016 priority list. The top 20 players, no ties, will have full LPGA membership, with those that finish 21 to 45 with conditional status. Again, I have to say, it's not as hard to get on as the Champions Tour, Bobby, but it's certainly important, you know, if you get in that fully exempt status. I mean, it just makes it so much easier, especially when you're traveling all over the world, as the LPGA does, to be able to get into spots and get into places. You need to know ahead of time, or it's going to be very difficult to keep your card, even if you get it in 16.
Yeah, and I would recommend anybody contemplating, any young ladies listening, first develop a fond desire to do a lot of traveling, because you will be going around the globe. Speaking of going around the globe, why don't we go back down to Australia, the Australian PGA Championship in Queensland, a magnificent place.
You know, Bob, we got, you know, obviously you got the Australian PGA Championship, which is a huge event. And then opposite that in South Africa, you got Nedbank. And I gotta tell you, if you're a player, trying to figure out which one you're going to play on is pretty tough, because both of them are very, very good. I guess Nedbank is in a place where it's pretty much controlled environment. And what you do is maybe in the morning you go out on a little safari, then you come back in, have a little lunch, play in the golf tournament. Then at night, unbelievable wine cellar, great food. The environment is just unbelievable. And so if you're a player, where are you going, South Africa or Australia?
I've been to both places, and I've loved both places. I think the most intelligent way of making that decision is, you know, throw a dart on the wall, and wherever that dart lands, that would be the country that you're going to. All right, let's move on here. Alex, PGA Tour Hero World Challenge, first time now, going to be down in the Bahamas. Pretty strong field there. Adam Scott obviously playing, and Jordan Spieth is our defending champion.
It'll be interesting because when Jordan won, it was coming from his win the week prior down in Australia, and came up and played tremendous golf at Isleworth, which is where the event was held last year. This year it's going to be a little more comfortable in regards to the golf course. It isn't as penal as Isleworth. But still, Jordan Spieth coming in as not only as defending, but the world number one ranked player in the world. Jason Day not playing, Roy McIlroy not playing. You got to figure Jordan Spieth is going to be the favorite, even though the field, as you said, is very good. We'll see what happens. It'd be very interesting. It'll also be interesting that we might get some little nuggets out of there, news nuggets, on what's going on with your friend, Tiger Woods, who we really haven't seen or talked to in quite a while.
Well, you mentioned the name Tiger Woods, and I think he delivered a very powerful message when he let it be known that he wanted to be an assistant captain on the Ryder Cup team, which is not coming up until September. That, to me, delivered a message that he doesn't think he's going to be able to play golf at the required level, not only to win and not only to, you know, contend in a major, but not even play well enough to make the team, Ryder Cup team, on points. And so he sends a message that, you know, this is my condition. I want to be assistant captain. And I think a lot has to do with Nike. You know, he's under contract to Nike. He's making big bucks from Nike. And he needs a presence in the world of golf. You just can't vanish from the scene and command those kind of dollars. But that's my opinion. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, that's it for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course at our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. What a group of individuals they are, making our golf courses look and play as the finest golf courses in the world. Also to Ion Loop and the GolfBlot.com, and of course, GolfWeek.com. So for Janet Self, Alex Bowtie Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupke, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. And please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, and you can follow us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.